I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 4, please. 1 Kings chapter number 4. When you arrived at 1 Kings chapter 4, I want you to find verse number 26. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 26. And may I ask that you all stand with me this morning? We'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 26. I'm going to read out loud and you can follow along silently. And the Bible says this, "And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victuals for King Solomon and for all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his month, they lacked nothing. Barley also, and straw for the horses, and dromedaries brought they unto the place where the officers were, every man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt." Verse number 29 is the passage from which we'll get today's sermon, where it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart." And let's pray. Father, bless us today. Lord, you know the type of sermon that I'm about to preach. I cannot struggle with someone over the attention of the people. So, Father, please, may we all settle ourselves and concentrate and give reverence to the preaching of the Word of God. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you will reach deep into our hearts, make an impression. Might we leave here today more like Jesus and less like this world? Father, work in our hearts in a unique and powerful way. Holy Spirit of God, take over and do a work. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This week, the world will celebrate Valentine's Day, a holiday that they consider a holiday of love. I have to tell you, though, the world's concept of love is very anemic. It falls very, very short, and the average person that's not born again, and even some Christians, don't really understand what love is all about. God is love, and God's love is a strong love. The world will celebrate Valentine's Day this week. Our church celebrates Valentine's Day 52 weeks a year. It's a big deal to us. You say, what's a big deal? This thing called love, it's a big deal. Someone asked me, said, Brother Owens, what kind of church would you like to have? Do you want a church that's famous? No, I don't want a church that's famous. I'd like to have a church that has a big heart. You say, what kind of church would you like to have? Would you like to have a church that has political clout? That has political influence? No, I'd just like to have a church that has a big heart. You say, would you like to have a church that has a high net worth? No, that really does not interest me. You say, well, what kind of church do you want? I want a church that has a big heart. You say, do you want a church that has a big attendance? No, it's not my goal. Never really been my goal. I just want a church that has a big heart. You say, do you want a church that's popular? No, and never have had one, probably never will have one like that. You say, what do you want? I want a church with a big heart. You want a church that has a national reputation? No, just a church with a big heart. Do you want a church that is influential over the Fundamental Baptist Church movement? No, I have no desire for that. I'd like to have a church that has a big heart. You say, do you want a church that has exquisite facilities? No, just a church with a big heart. You want a church that caters to the upper class and the influential people of the community? I don't mind them coming, but really, I'd just like to have a church that has a big heart. Do we want to accomplish secular clout in our church? Do we want to influence the community? Well, socially, no. Spiritually, yes. And my ultimate goal is to have a church with a big heart. When I was a young man, I went to a conference. And at that conference, I listened to a veteran pastor. And he presented at that conference what he called his church. It's called the Church with a Heart. I've never forgotten it. I thought, I've watched so many people and so many churches do so many things. I've never forgotten his goal for his church is that his church was a church with a heart. See, church is made up of people. The only way to have a church with a heart is to have people within the church have a heart for people. If you have a heart for God, I think you'll have a heart for people. I'm going to give you a little heart food if I could today. Usually, and so you know how I work, we may be lovey-dovey today and have a very tender, soft service. I need to tell you, this is going to preface something because I'm getting ready to throw an ever-loving fit here before long. And so I want some of you to like me well enough that I can clean your clock later on and you still think I'm a nice guy. Back to the soft spirit. I'm going to give you some heart food if I could. Acts 14:17, it says, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food." Obviously, we know that the organ of the heart is not where food goes. It's not talking about your organ. It's talking about the seat of your emotions and that our hearts need fed. If we're going to have a church that has a good heart or a big heart, it doesn't just come from the pastor feeling that way or the pastor's wife feeling that way. It comes from the people in the church feeling that way. I loved what I read to you earlier from 1 Kings chapter number 4. The Bible says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much." It says largeness of heart. I want to have a big heart. I don't know what life's all about to you, but I want you to know, as your pastor, I want to have a big heart. I don't want to have a small heart. I don't want to have a medium-sized heart. I would like to have what Solomon got. You know, God promised Solomon. He said, "Solomon, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want." And it's an amazing thing. Wealth and fame and power. And I see all those things that were promised to Solomon. And I see what God gave him. I was amazed. God gave him largeness of heart. There are a lot of things that people could covet. I guess, if I may, I covet largeness of heart. Still to this day, to me, the most phenomenal thing about God is His love. That's just amazing to me. Would you allow God to give you largeness of heart? You should. You let your wife give you heartburn. Largeness of heart. And the Bible says he had largeness of heart even as the sand of the sea. And when God uses terms like the sand of the sea, he's saying it is just massive. Its vastness is hard to calculate. In other words, loving far, long, and deep. You know, I wonder if people in this room today ought to ask God to give you largeness of heart. I want our church to be a church that's known as a church with a heart. A church with a heart. You say, a church with a heart for what? I can tell you. I'd like for our church to be known as a church with a heart for the bus kids. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted." I think that we ought to keep our hearts tender toward the bus kids. We go out and we pick up, if you're a guest here today, we go out into the community and we pick up kids that maybe they could or maybe they couldn't come to church otherwise, but they're a big deal around here. And the bus kids that are here, I want them to know this. I love you and your pastor's your friend. I know I get on you some and I tell you, you got to pay attention in church, but I'm doing that for your own good. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm not trying to teach you something that's bad for you. I'm trying to teach you something that's good for you. But look, folks, if the bus kids come, there's going to be times they're going to be running in the hallway when they're not supposed to run. Every once in a while, they're going to go in the bathroom and do something they should not do. There are going to be times when they misbehave. But they need somebody to love them, and they need somebody to help them, and they need somebody to train them as well. I happen to believe that God blesses a church that reaches out to the less fortunate, and even in some cases, the poor. God blesses a church like that. I just love the kids that we pick up on our buses and the kids that are part of our ministry. Alexandria, will you come up here for a second? Yeah, come up here. Mrs. Owens, yeah, come up here. I want you to come up on the platform. This little gal right here is very important to me. She's been coming to our church for quite some time. And she loves our church, by the way. And she's a little mama bear. She watches out for her little brothers and sisters. I have something for you today. Mrs. Owens has it. If I could, I'd give one to all the bus kids. I can't. But what I want you to know is this. We have a heart for girls just like that. Some of you can remember back a couple years ago when she first started coming to church, and she's grown. She's getting tall. It won't be long until she'll be a part of the youth department. I'm going to tell you something. I look forward to that day because she's a good girl. She's a good girl. I want us to help people. I want us to love people. I'm a stubborn, gritty, old-fashioned Baptist preacher. But my heart for people, it's true. It's true. Mia, come up here for a second. I appreciate our teenagers in our church. Just step up on the platform. So I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. Mia's one of our teenagers. And again, I've watched Mia grow in the Lord. I've watched Mia. I don't think Mia's perfect, and Mia knows I'm not perfect, but I can tell you this. I've watched her grow. I've watched her through the last couple of years. And if you've seen her around our church, you've seen a faithful young lady. There are girls in this room that ought to be more faithful, that don't face near the challenges that she might face in life, but she's faithful. And I have something. Mrs. Owens, where are you at? I want you to give that to Mia. We wanted to get you a little candy. And we're proud of you. We're proud of you, Mia. All of you bus workers and you bus captains, I want you to understand something. To me, those buses are limousines. They're bringing in precious cargo. And I think that we don't understand how valuable people are. And again, if I could give every teenager here, if I could give them a box of candy, I would. But I wouldn't give it to them right before church or anything, you know. But I believe that I want our church to be a church with a heart. I want our church to be a church with a heart for the children and the teenagers. I want our church to be a church with a heart for missions. There are people around this world that need to be saved. There are people around this world that need to be influenced. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." I think you and I need a heart full of love for our missionaries. It wasn't just but a few days ago we had our missions conference here at our church where we raised money to help missionaries. When our missionaries came in, we tried to spoil them and take care of them. And I want to remind all of you, if you promise to give to our missions program, please do that. We want to help people. We want to make a difference in people's lives. We called our missions conference, "Please See the Need." Brother Fannin was here and spoke to us. He's now on the mission field. I have to tell you, Brother Fannin, in his 70s, he's on the mission field. He went back to the mission field. He no longer got on the field. That he started having heart struggles. He's been in the hospital for days now and bedridden. But a man in his 70s goes back to the Philippines to help people. Now, some of you in your 30s, I can't even get you to come to church but one time a week. I got a man that's 70 that will fly all the way around the world as a missionary to keep on serving God. That amazes me. Just amazes me. Brother Barnes, our missionary that was here, going to Guam, and I thank God for missionaries. I don't think sometimes we understand what it takes to be a missionary. Mrs. Owens, she told me this once. She said, I'm just not sure I'd be cut out to go to the mission field. She said, it just seems like it would be a very great, great struggle. And I think it is. It's a very sacrificial thing. I was thinking of Earl and Lynn and Jeremiah. Lynn, how long were you all in Alaska? 15 years. Tell me if I'm wrong, but weren't you guys the area? I was looking over the website when I was studying it. I mean, it said North Pole. 13 years at the North Pole, and then moved up further. That's farther than where Santa Claus is, guys. Let me tell you something. You would not understand until you've lived the way they live. You just wouldn't understand it. These aren't people that had all the delicacies of life. And they're still serving God. Brother Earl right now is up in Maryland at one of the churches that supports him. Either that or he's up there golfing. You know, Lynn, we don't know. But Brother Earl's up there right now. Let me tell you, these folks have struggled, and these folks have been through it, and they're back in the area. They continue their mission work. It's going to be done just a little bit differently now. Lynn's health, Earl and Lynn both, their health, their bodies have just been through it. You say, from what? Well, it's primarily from serving God, from serving God. And I want us to recognize that. Lynn, Mrs. Owens. Just what you need, a big old box of candy. But we want you to know we appreciate you. Jeremiah, I don't have anything to give you. You can share it with me. But Lynn, we do. We appreciate it. And some of you don't know these folks well. But understand that you don't know them well because they've been at a place where nobody would know them. They've served in the pocket of the world where running water and you cut your own wood, and not for a nostalgic reason. You know, you go get some wood because you want to use the fireplace in your $400,000 home to enjoy it for a moment. Some people cut wood to keep themselves warm. And I just want you to understand. I want missionaries to know this is a church that has heart. We have heart. I want our church to be a church with a heart for the bus kids, for the children, for the teenagers, for the missionaries. A church with a heart. What kind of a church do you want, Pastor? I want a church that has a church with a heart for the hurting, for hurting people. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 17, it says, comfort your hearts. And God is telling us that it's necessary that our hearts be comforted. And I want a look at our church services. We will thunder against sin, and we will throw a fit against wrong and the liberalism both in our day and in our churches. But at the same time, I want people to know that when they come to this church, they'll be comforted. I enjoy preaching to help people with their burdens. I kind of wish that sometimes I wish I could tell people the whole story. There's somebody sitting in this auditorium. I remember when they came to our church, I remember they would sit in their seat and weep through the services. And I thought, there's somebody that needs rebuilt. Their heart's broken. Slowly but surely they would come. And I watched God rebuilding their heart. Now I look at them and they sit in church and they'll weep a tear, but now I see a smile and I see victory and I see happiness in their life. Boy, I want that for our church. I think sometimes churches can become so hateful. I hate sin. I hate the devil. I'm going to keep it that way. I'm going to throw fits about what's wrong, but let's love people. And let's love people that need comforting. I was thinking of Mrs. Suzanne Darwin. Some of you know who Suzanne is. Suzanne, when she comes in, she has a walker. Suzanne is the slowest moving person in our church. She'll push that walker out, and she'll take about a half a step, and then another half step. And she struggles to get from the car into this building. And I don't think this is inappropriate. I ask that we get a wheelchair, because I just couldn't stand watching Suzanne have to take 15 minutes to find her seat. And now we've got the wheelchair also for those of you that are feeble-minded, Brother Nofsinger. But Suzanne this week had a condition with her heart, and I was talking to her, and I was just thinking about if you ever took a good long look, Suzanne's stroke has just disabled her in so many ways. You know, I want a church that cares about people that are hurting. I think of people, Brother and Mrs. Nofsinger, they serve the Lord and they do it gladly and with willing hearts, but I just couldn't tell you everything that they've faced in their lifetime and in their family, Mrs. Nofsinger, with family burdens and heartaches. And I'm not talking about George now. I'm talking about the what your family's been through and the health issues they're facing. I think of the Crooms, and I think of what Alice Croom has been through. And I could never take you into the private parts of people's lives. But I look around the room and I know there are people here that have been through a lot, and their hearts have been broken. And it's not something that you get to make public all the time. Do you know what kind of church I want? I want a church that has a heart for hurting people. Sometimes we're hurting, maybe even because we did something to ourselves. Do you know that not all hurts are inflicted by someone else? We do things and we hurt ourselves. You know, we can break our own hearts. We can get ourselves into our own messes. But I want you to know something. If somebody hurt you, we want to help you. Look, if you hurt yourself, we want to help you too. Mrs. Owens, one of the things she helps keeps me in line and tender, but she reminds me, she said, honey, if there's an accident, the person that caused it, they may have hurt someone. And she'll remind me that we ought to pray for the people that got hurt. She said, but even if somebody caused an accident, they've hurt themselves. And in the Christian life, it's that way too. Sometimes we get hurt by someone. Sometimes we hurt ourselves. But everybody's hurting. I think some of the worst hurts in my life came because of me, not because of others. But I think of hurting people, forsaken, embarrassed, lonely, hurting because the evil one has tempted you and hurt you. I was thinking, there's just so many people and so many people whose hearts have been broken. I want our church to be the kind of church that helps people who hurt. I'm thinking about Amber. She, what a good lady. Got some of the cutest kids in the world. One of the ugliest husbands in the world. Just shows she has a heart. It's not been many weeks ago Amber lost a brother to death, and he was killed. But what a good spirit. What a good heart Amber has. And Amber, Mrs. Owens has a little gift for you. And we wanted to just give you a little something to tell you. That we know that your heart's been through a lot. A church with a heart for the hurting. A church with a heart for bus kids, the children, the teenagers. A church with a heart for missions. A church with a heart for the hurting. And a church with a heart for the lost. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 10:26, it says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went out with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." We need to keep our eyes on the fact that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And it's real. And there are people that will die and go to that hell someday. Oh, speaking of a heart, you hear about the blonde that went to the doctor? She said, I've got heart pain. And she pointed to it and said, "Oh!" And then the doctor said, "Where's the pain?" Said, "Well, it's right here." And she said, "Oh!" As she pointed to it, and the doctor said, "Ma'am, could I see your finger?" And she looked at her finger, and the doctor said, "I'm sorry, it's not your heart. You have a broken finger." But she was convinced that's where that pain came from. Look, folks, you don't pay much. You don't get much. You don't laugh when you think it's funny. You laugh when I think that it's funny. And the doctor said, "You've got a broken finger." Yeah, you got it. You got it. I think we ought to have a church that has a heart. A church with a heart for the lost. And listen now, young people, listen. You know, the Bible talks about a group of people whose hearts, a group of men whose hearts God had touched. I thank God for the people in our church that are constantly telling others about Jesus Christ. I thank God for the hundreds and hundreds of people that have been saved here at our church. Folks, there is a hell. It's a real place. There is a heaven. I don't want anybody to go to that hell. I want everybody to have the privilege of going to that heaven. And I tell you, I just want to see people get saved. I try to be fair and try not to show favoritism, but I'm gonna ask my daughter if Charlotta will come up here for a second. Those of you that know my daughter, you will not find a much better soul winner. She is constantly winning people to the Lord. Charlotta, Mom's gonna give you something today. I just know this. I know she cares about the souls of men. I just know that. If you know her, she cares about people getting saved. Many of your young people have been trained on how to win someone to Jesus Christ around her. But I thank God, those of you that are winning souls, I hope, and don't get jealous. If you've got jealousy in your heart right now, you really need to hit the altar and get something right. If you're saying, "I wish it were me," what you ought to wish is that your heart was tender and that you were more interested in other people than yourself and your own emotions. But let me tell you something. People, we're keeping people out of hell. I want a church that has a heart for lost folks. There's a hell. It's a real place. And we ought to keep everybody out of hell that we can. Not only that, I want a church with a heart for the family. For the family. In our day and age, it's almost as if the devil has launched an out and an out attack on the families of our world. And we need to be able to reach people. And we need to help families and help families to become strong. And I want a church that has a heart for the family. We want children to be close to their parents. We want parents to be close to their children. We want marriages to be strong. And boy, what a beautiful song Tyler and Rachel did earlier. And thank you so much for that song. We want to help families, and we want to heal broken families and help people. And God knows, in this day, virtually, when I was growing up, you would watch on television, and there were all these little television shows all about families, and they were just as adorable as they could be. Today, it's full of just ridiculousness. Just ridiculousness. You know, and if there were a show on television today that was about a wholesome, decent family, nobody would watch it because we're so entertained by the weird, off-the-wall, sinful, vile, ridiculous, rebelliousness of our day. But I want a church that has a heart for families, a heart for the family. And I think that's important. I think that's a really, really big deal. Uriah and Aisha, I sure appreciate you guys. I think Eleni's back in Children's Church. But I appreciate you having your family in church. And thank you for all that you do for our church. Aisha, if you'll meet Mrs. Owens about halfway, we want to give you a little something. You get to represent our families today. Aisha is a health food buff. Uriah, you just promise her you'll dispose of that properly for her and hide it where you hide the other stuff that you eat that you're not supposed to. But if you know the Crawfords, they love the Lord, and they're raising their family in church and serving God. And that's what I want. I want our church to be a church that loves families and loves the lost and loves missionaries, loves the bus kids, loves the teenagers and the adults and the people that are hurting in this life. But not only that, I want our church to be a church that has a heart for the military people. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart." Thank God for a pure heart. Our church has a respect for veterans. Our church has a respect for those people that have given their lives to help keep our country pure and safe. And I thank God for the military. Now, we have a free country today. I get to stand up here and preach. And we get to do what we do. We get to build an old-fashioned Baptist church because a group of men and ladies have helped us to keep our country free. I don't have a gift for all the veterans, but I would like this. If you're active military and or a veteran in military or your spouse would you stand for just a second? Just take a second. Don't be shy. Stand up there, and let me say to all of you, your church respects you. And we thank God for you. And people, I don't think everybody understands what it's like to make a commitment like you made when you did. I am proud to have these type and this caliber of people in our church. So thank you, folks. I really appreciate what you do for us. Kathy is here. She's alone today. Her husband's off on... He's on duty. But Kathy, Mrs. Owens has a little gift to you. Kathy and John have a baby that's coming here before too very long. I think he's at Fort Bragg today. But you know, there are some of you ladies that you've experienced the time when your husband was away. You know how hard that is. And I respect that, and I appreciate that. When military people come to our church, I want them to find a warm welcome. I want them to know that they're wanted here. I want them to know that we respect them and we admire them. When God was speaking about Solomon, he said, one of the things I'm going to give Solomon is largeness of heart. I think everybody here, you ought to want your heart to be big. You ought to want to care. We live in a rugged world. We live in a tough world. You got to be certainly tough to live in the day and age in which we live. But folks, don't become so tough that you become mean. Don't become so tough that you don't stop caring. You say, but if I'm tender, I could get hurt. Yeah, you might. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Keep that heart tender. God can use that. Now, we're going to remain an old-fashioned Baptist church. We'll be hard-hitting, and we're going to stand for what's right. But at the same time, I want us to love people. I want us to have largeness of heart. I want to have a large heart in our church toward the bus kids, the children, the teenagers. I want to have largeness in our heart toward the missionaries. Largeness in our heart toward those who are hurting. Largeness for the lost. Largeness of heart toward the family. Largeness of heart toward the veterans and their families. But not only that, I want our church to be large in heart in regard to the mentally challenged or special needs people. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28:47, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things." It's talking about gladness of heart. Our church, I'm glad, you know, in under the sound of my voice right now, we have very, very capable business owners. We have people that are, we have doctors. We have people that are managers and corporate executives. But I want you all to understand something. This church the doors are open, and this church is a church also for people that could never have all that. Special needs people have a special place in my heart. They're important to our church. You'll see, and we go out of our way to invite them. We want them to come. Mrs. Caldwell, the last couple of Christmases, has thrown a private Christmas party for one of the group homes in our area, so the special needs ladies could know that our church loved them. Hey, Maggie, would you be willing to come up here for a second? This is Maggie Stiller. I want you to meet her. Maggie, we have a gift for you. I'm letting Maggie represent special folks that come to our church. Thanks, Maggie. Maggie and I were sitting in my office this week, and we were talking, and we talked, and Maggie very, very clearly understands salvation. We got to talking about baptism, and of course, sometimes things that we do, it can be a little scary. And it's a little different. You've never done it before, and you're not sure of it. Maggie and I, we talked about it, and then we came back, and we looked at the baptistry and where the water comes in and how you do it and what does a baptistry robe look like and how would it happen. And she said, I think I can do that. She said, Preacher, next Sunday, I think I can do that. And it's a big deal. You have to understand. That can be a very scary thing. And it's scary enough if maybe you're able to think totally and thoroughly, but when you don't have that privilege, it's a big thing. And Maggie, I'm glad you're a part of our church, and I want you to be a part of our church. And the people that come from the group homes, this is what they say. They say, we like coming here. We like it that you like us and that you want us here, and we do. If our church ever becomes a big shot church where the bus kids are not welcome, or a big shot church where special needs people don't feel welcome here, or the poor don't feel welcome, then I won't feel welcome either. I'd rather be somewhere else. I don't think the church was ever intended to be this showpiece that was beyond people. No, I think it's supposed to have heart. But let me very quickly then say also, I want our church to be a church with a heart for the widow. We had the privilege this last Thanksgiving. We were able to do something for some of our widows. In Psalm 33, verse number 2, it says, praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery and with instruments of 10 strings. The Bible talks about having a heart. A lady who's a widow, that means that she'll spend Thanksgiving with an empty chair around the table. Christmas the same way. You ladies that are married, when you come home at night and you have someone that checks the door to make sure it's locked, a widow lady does not have that privilege. Something creaks in the house, it scares you. If there's a man there, he sends you to check on it for him. Those ladies, I want them to know that in our church, the Bible says there ought to be a special place in a church's heart for a lady who has lost her husband. The word widow, the term widow, it doesn't mean that someone is, 90 years of age. A widow could be any age. They could lose a husband. One of the sweetest ladies in our church is Cynthia Swords. And Cynthia, I want you to know that we know that Richard's passed. I know life has been rough, and it's not always been easy. But you talk about a lady with a good attitude. Goodness. What a good attitude. And Rachel, you ought to be very proud of your mama. Rachel stood up here to sing earlier, and Cynthia's daughters, what a joy. What a glorious thing. But Cynthia, on behalf of the widows, I want Mrs. Owens to give you a little gift today. Because I want a church that has a heart for the widows. There are those who go through a grieving process, and I want our church to have a heart for them. I got to thinking, and I probably shouldn't have, the man that we would call Mr. Tom passed away. Tabitha Reepsummer's uncle, who most of you would have never known, but was very dear to her. He passed away. Judy Vest, sometimes you might not know somebody's name. You might not know them, but I can guarantee you there are people that know them that love them very much, and they were a very, very, very vital part of their life. Richard Swords, Tom Kovitz. You know, Brother Dave Morgan's not here today, but very close to the Morgan family. Tom went to heaven this year. Marie suffered loss this year, and I'm not finding every. My eyes are not working real well right now, but I make eye contact. I know that the Knopf singers have lost people this year. Amber's brother, Janine's daughter, Mrs. Croom's mama went to heaven not all that long ago. Dave's dad. You all didn't know Dave's dad, but I'll tell you what. Dave's a tribute to his dad. That's a good man back there. Dave's dad went to heaven. When people grieve, it's easy, and here's what we do. We run to their aid at the moment. But I got to remind you something. 5 months later, they're still hurting. And there's still that empty chair 4 Thanksgivings later. And I want us to be a church that has a heart for grieving people, people who have lost someone that they love. I'm grateful for Mrs. Caldwell. She helps me an awful lot around the church. As you know, Mrs. Caldwell is she is first of all one of our widows, but secondly, her daughter went to heaven this year, and her daughter passed away. You know, that's a heavy thing for a mom to face. How old was Kelly when she passed? She's 33 years of age, and she had cancer. And Kelly went to be with the Lord. Mrs. Owens, I want you to give Mrs. Caldwell on behalf of I want you to take that back there to Janine. And we're grateful for Janine's service and help around the church. But in a special way, Janine really had a broken heart this year. I'm almost finished. Tolerate me for just a moment more. I have a question for you. The question is this. How is your heart? How's your heart? I think you need to ask God to make your heart soft. The Bible says in Job 23:16, "For God maketh my heart soft." You ought to ask God to enlarge your heart. In Psalm 119, verse number 32, it says, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." You say, well, why? Why should I have a large heart? Listen very carefully. I wish I had a bunch of time to develop what I'm about to say. You say, why should I want a soft and a big heart? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, "For the Lord said unto Samuel, look not to his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." I don't know what impression you want to give anybody. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. God knows your heart. When God sees you, God's not looking at how good looking you are. He's not looking at how much money you have. He's not looking at how much clout. God's looking at your heart. You ought to want a soft and a big heart for the cause of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never been born again, we'd like to invite you to the Savior. The Bible teaches there's a heaven and a hell. If you've never been born again, you ought to get born again. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. We're coming toward the end of the service. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. So let's all continue to keep our attention focused and proper. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, "Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm born again." Would you raise your hand and say, "I'm not saved. I don't know that I'd go to heaven when I die." I see a hand. Anyone else? You say, "I don't know that I'm saved." You may put your hand down. Thank you. I think this. Is there somebody here that would say, "Pastor, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But I think God needs to work on my heart a little. I need some of those tendernesses in my own heart. God has spoken to my heart about making sure I have a large heart and I truly have an interest in people." Would you raise your hand and say, "God spoke to my heart about my heart today"? God bless you. Lots of hands. You may put your hands down. This is what's going to happen. In a moment, we're going to stand. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. And if you're not saved and you want to come to this altar, you just walk toward the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are saved and you need a moment at the altar, maybe you're a little self-centered. Maybe your heart's not big. Maybe your heart's not tender. Maybe it's not soft toward God's people and toward God. Maybe you ought to come and just get on your knees for a second and say, Lord, soften my heart. Soften my heart. Let's make this an amazing Valentine's week by true largeness of heart. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, why don't you come? Maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you need to come and ask God to work on your heart a little bit. Tenderness of heart. A soft heart. Oh, if you're not careful, you'll become mean in life. Life's rough. Life can be hard. But don't become so harsh that you don't love people. Decide that you want a tender heart. Decide that you want a soft heart. If you need a moment to pray, you just take it. The pianist will continue to play. We'll let some folks get a moment at the altar. God gave Solomon largeness of heart. And it said, as the sands of the sea. Say, what did that mean? I think it meant his heart expanded and he just loved a variety of people in a variety of ways. I think he would have loved the bus kids and loved the teenagers and loved the missionaries and loved the hurting people. I think he would have loved the lost and loved the family unit. I think he would have loved those veterans and military people and those that maybe special needs. He would have said, I love the widow and I love the grieving, looking for people to love, looking for people to help. Well, what kind of church do you want, Pastor? I want a church with a heart. With a heart. Church with a heart. The altar is open. There are yet those coming, and we're going to give them a moment. Going to go through the song one more time. I remember back in church when I was a kid, pastors say, play through it one more time. Sometimes I didn't understand why, but now I understand why. God's still dealing with someone's heart. Somebody's still getting saved. You say, I want to get out of here. I want to go have my meal. It won't hurt you to take just a couple more minutes to let somebody get born again. You be a part of it. You patiently wait while God delivers someone from hell. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Young people, get a big heart to help people. Those of you that have been through some tough times in life, don't become so rough that you can't love and help people. Have a heart. This is the last time through the song. We'll read a name or two and we'll be on our way.